are standing back taking pictures and just taking in the moment. And the kids are just rattling off the long list of all the things they want for Christmas. And when they were done, they hopped off Santa's lap and the family turned to walk away. And little Billy and Susie, they turned back around and they wave, "Goodbye, Santa." And Dad turned around and said, "Goodbye, money." It's that time of year. We're reminded, it seems, about November 1st that it's Christmas season, it seems. How do we know it's Christmas? Well, we see the lights and the decorations. We see the sales and the news ads. We see the commercials for it. Christmas shows start coming on television. It's Christmas, 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 and it's all around us. You can't hardly escape it. How many of you are Christmas junkies? I mean, this time of the year, you just are so excited. It's just the greatest time of the year. There are some that absolutely love this time of year, and well, there's reason to really enjoy this time of year. And my hope is that we get excited for a little bit different reason, however. Not so much about all the things that remind us of what Christmas is going to be, such as the things that we see, the lights and the presents and all of those things, but rather it's the Christ of Christmas that we get excited about. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Some say that Christmas is full of traditions, and your family may have certain traditions that they honor each year, things that you do leading up to Christmas, or maybe Christmas Eve, or the day of Christmas. You have specific traditions that you've kind of hung on to, and you enjoy, and you look forward to. But there are some traditions that I don't particularly like about Christmas. That would be the interruptions and the inconvenience. Christmas time can be a hassle in some ways, and it can really diminish the reason for why we celebrate Christmas. We get drugged down, we get bogged down. Our family last week on Thanksgiving Day rolled into Branson, Missouri, and well, where we stayed was near where you would enter to go into Silver Dollar City. And I was interrupted, and some of my joy was sapped for a moment. I was inconvenienced because that evening they were having a massive light display in Silver Dollar City, and the traffic was about 5 miles long, waiting at a standstill to get into that place. Now, thankfully, we were traveling the opposite direction that they were going, so we weren't hung up in that, but we were still delayed, and it was quite frustrating, all because they wanted to celebrate Christmas on Thanksgiving, it seemed. And, well, sometimes that's part of this season, the inconvenience and the interruptions, and sometimes those things can really drag us down and cause us not to celebrate the real reason of Christmas. And then you have your cousin, your long-lost cousin that you walk out and see that he's parked his Winnebago in your driveway, and he says, "I'm only going to stay for 10 short days." It's that time of year. It's Christmas. It seemed, however, though, when you're a child, that Christmas was more fun. There was more joy in it. Well, as a child, you don't have to worry about making the Christmas dinner. You don't have to worry about making the family plans. You don't have to worry about buying the presents because you're the one receiving the presents. As a child, you have no worries, no concerns. You just can't wait to see that face that represents Christmas. That jolly old elf. Where's the red suit, the big white beard? Santa Claus. That's the expectation and that's the hope as a child. And you can't wait for that morning, Christmas morning, to rush into the living room to see all the presents underneath the tree and the anticipation of what could be inside of those presents. That's a child's view. But as adults, we should, as we age, have a different viewpoint of Christmas and why it is that we celebrate Christmas. But do we? Do we have a different perspective? What is it that we look forward to when it comes to this time of the year? Are we more worried about celebrating the holiday of Christmas or celebrating the Christ of Christmas? And sometimes, this time of the year, Christmas time, isn't so joyful as an adult. Different life circumstances cause this time of the year to be perhaps a darker time. Perhaps finances aren't what they were in the past, and you feel that you can't provide the way that you once did, and it's kind of gotten you down. Perhaps you're celebrating this season without someone in your life that you loved. And, well, where's the joy in this season? And if you feel that this Christmas season is a little bit less or not as joyful as in the past, I've got a story for you that might change that around, and I think you've heard it before. In a faraway place, a pregnant teenager was facing some difficult odds. I would imagine for Mary, as she grew up, she wasn't anticipating being pregnant before she was married. She wasn't anticipating this kind of situation to come into her life. But as the angel told her that she would give birth to the Son of God, she told the Lord, "I'm your servant." She was obedient, and she was willing to do what it was that God called her to do. It wasn't her plan, I'm sure, for her life to start out this way. I'm sure she envisioned being married, and having her first child would have been an exciting time. She probably would rather have been surrounded by her mother and perhaps an aunt holding her hand while the midwife delivered the baby. Joseph outside the house with his buddies, grinning from ear to ear, knowing that he'd be a father soon. That was the situation that they would have expected. But we know the story. It's quite the opposite of that. Rather, Mary gets to make a long trek to end up in a barn. Mary wasn't just a few weeks or a few months pregnant, but she was very close to her due date. The ladies here can sympathize. I necessarily can't. What that would have been like, making that trek. We like to envision that she was riding on a donkey. Very likely she could have been just walking. We don't know. But it would have been a difficult situation that she was in. She had no family or friends to celebrate with her as she gave birth to this child, but just the animals. I've been on vacation before and had to stay in some, hotels that weren't so desirable. Because there was nothing around, you just find the nearest one that you could find. To come out with the key and look at your family and say, this is where we're staying. And I can envision Joseph walking away from the guy at the inn. Probably no key in hand, but with the information to tell Mary that we're headed to the barn. And I'm sure she was tired and worn out and just said, okay. That God would choose to send his son into the world in this manner is something else. It's something that you couldn't make up, but this is of the mind of God and his plan. That God could have sent his son in a million different ways, but he chose to do this. In John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I wonder, as Mary gave birth to Jesus, and whenever he was placed in her arms for the first time, and she gazed into his eyes, looked at his face, I wonder if the thought crossed her mind that she was seeing the face of God. What an amazing moment. And I'm sure all the pain and the struggling that she had gone through, all of that faded away, and it all had become worth it. That she was able to do this. And it tells us here that Jesus didn't come like a human, but Jesus came as a human. It's a big difference. He didn't come somewhat like us, but he came just as we are. Why would God go to this length? Why would God choose this manner to bring his son into the world? Because God wants you to know that he knows how we feel. The situations we go through, the pain that we go through, the struggle that we go through, the joy and happiness that we go through. Jesus, he experienced it all. He experienced it all except for the sin. He wants us to know that he can feel, he can sympathize, he knows. Have you ever felt sad? Jesus wept when he heard that his friend Lazarus was dead. Have you ever been concerned? Jesus was concerned about his disciples as he walked across that stormy sea. Have you ever felt taken advantage of or put down? Jesus came to the rescue of the adulterous woman. He's been here. He's walked this planet, and God knows. And as Mary gazed upon Jesus, she saw the face of God. I want to tell you a story about a missionary who's also a doctor, who in 1926, Dr. George Harley, went to Liberia to serve the tribespeople there, to give them medical help in hopes that then he could bring the gospel to those people. While he was there, he constructed a clinic where in the first year he saw 10,000 people. And he also constructed a place of worship, a church of sorts. And in that first year, not a single person went to his church on a Sunday morning. And for 5 years, this continued on. He treated person after person after person, but no one came to worship on a Sunday morning at the church that he had built. When he and his wife had arrived in Liberia 5 years earlier, they were blessed with a baby boy. His wife gave birth to a little boy named Bobby. And those parents were overjoyed. And 5 years later, 1926, little Bobby was outside playing, and Dr. Harley looked out the window and saw his son fall down. Bobby got back up, and he ran a few more steps, and he fell again. And that happened a few times over. And so Dr. Harley went outside to see what was wrong with his son. He brought him in and started treating him and realized that he had contracted a tropical fever. Dr. Harley had done everything he possibly could to save his boy, but his boy died. As you can imagine, he and his wife were distraught. They were overcome with grief. He built a coffin, placed his son in the coffin, and put it over his shoulder to head out to bury his son. One of the townspeople saw him, one of the villagers, and he asked, "Well, what has happened?" And he said, "My son has died, and I'm going to bury him." And so the villager helped Dr. Harley carry the casket out so he could bury it. He dug the hole and placed the coffin inside, and after he had covered it with dirt, Dr. Harley fell to his knees crying. The villager got down and looked intently at Dr. Harley as he was in bewilderment, wondering what he was doing. And Dr. Harley records that after a few moments of that, the villager sprung to his feet, running back into the town, shouting, "White man, cry like us! White man, cry like us!" God sent his son to this earth. He knows. He knows just how we feel. He knows what we go through. He sympathizes with our pain. He rejoices in our joy. C.S. Lewis wrote, "God could, had he pleased, have been incarnate in a man of iron nerves, the stoic sort who lets no sigh escape him. Of his great humility, he chose to be incarnate in a man of delicate sensibilities who wept at the grave of Lazarus and sweated blood at Gethsemane. Otherwise, we should have missed the great lesson, that is by his will alone that a man is good or bad, and that feelings are not in themselves of any importance. We should also have missed that all-important help of knowing that he faced all that the weakest of us face, has shared not only the strength of our nature, but every weakness of it except sin. If he had been incarnate in a man of immense natural courage, that would have been for many of us almost the same as his not being incarnate at all." And we consider the lengths that God went and how he accomplished his will through his son. Knowing this, as we approach Christmas, should beckon us to respond this Christmas season a little bit differently, perhaps. That we prepare ourselves for Christmas, not for the holiday that it is, but for the Christ that it represents. That we make that effort. We should be preparing ourselves, being in preparation as that day approaches, that we mark, that we celebrate the birth of God's Son, Jesus Christ. So I want this morning to give you some practical tips on how we can be preparing and how some of these things are things that really are roadblocks for you and I when it comes to preparing to celebrate Christ, the real reason for why we celebrate Christmas. And the first one hits you right in the gut, literally. Prepare yourself physically. We need to be preparing ourselves physically. We all have to admit, this time of the season, overeating and sleep deprivation prevails sometimes. And how is it if we're depriving ourselves of sleep and we're not taking care of ourselves physically, will we really be prepared? Are we in the steps of preparation to celebrate Christ and His coming? Our family, as we went to Branson last week, we went to the National Tiger Sanctuary, and they had rescue animals there from oddity sideshows and whatnot, and animals that people didn't want any longer. And they had one lion named Harry. He was a massive animal. He stood up on the fence. He's 10 feet tall with his paws in the air. His paws are twice the size of my hands, teeth like that. When they fed him, they slide a tray of 15 pounds of meat into his fence. And as he would eat, he growled the entire time. And the lady that fed him, she'd say, "How's the food, Harry?" He'd look out of the corner of his eye and just roar that this tiger made. And we're like, what's the deal with this? Because his brother's in the cage beside. He didn't make a single noise. He just sat there and he just ate. And they said, well, he has hunger deprivation. He gets hangry, more or less. You and I know what that means. And we need to guard ourselves with this. 1 Corinthians 10:31, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. It's important that we take care of ourselves, that physically we're ready to, and we're preparing ourselves for this time of the season. There's a few good reasons for this. First, your body's a gift from God, and so we care for it. Also, it sets a good example. As a Christian, we're called to set a good example in all the walks of life that we live. And this is much the same. Also, it helps you in dealing with stress. If you're not getting much sleep, you're not much fun to be around. If you're not taking care of yourself, you're not going to be much fun to be around. And well, it's going to be hard to prepare yourself for this season. The second one is this: prepare yourself relationally. This time of the year, family get-togethers, you may have that uncle that gets on your nerves, that cousin that speaks their mind too much and it just bothers you. Those family members that, well, it's Christmas, so you got to be together. It's what families do. But it can be stressful. Prepare yourself for this. And when Cousin Eddie shows up, you just about lose your mind. Another thing that we miss out on, I think, at this time of the year relationally, is that we get so overcome with the things that we need to do, the preparations, the parties, all the things that keep us busy this time of year as we prepare for Christmas, is that we miss out on perhaps no other time in the calendar to speak about Christ to someone. Evangelism is wide open this time of year. I would guess that in Pana, just about every single person has Christmas on their mind and they're going to celebrate Christmas. And so that means the door is wide open for you with a family member or a neighbor or someone that you work with to remind them or let them know why it is you celebrate Christmas. The door may be wide open, no greater time besides perhaps Easter, to talk to someone about the Christ of Christmas, about that baby boy that was born 2,000 years ago and the difference he can make in their life. And so, relationally, prepare yourself not to be overcome with busyness and stress so that you're able to have those opportunities to speak truth to others. Titus chapter 1, verse 8, rather he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. Be hospitable. Prepare yourself relationally. A third is prepare yourself emotionally. I have three thoughts here on this. The first one is this: your Christmas does not have to be the Hallmark Channel. Emotionally, we can get ourselves overwhelmed, overworked, thinking it has to be perfect, it has to look like this. It doesn't. Prepare yourself emotionally for that. Also, it's not about the commercialization. Christmas is commercialized big time. We start seeing it around Halloween or just thereafter, and that becomes the all-important. Prepare yourself that that's not what it has to be about. And also this Christmas season, emotionally you may feel kind of alone. Perhaps someone's missing from your life at this time. Or maybe that person's been gone a long time, but you revisit that in your mind. Just as Mary was reminded that she's not alone, you and I aren't alone either. God is always and is still there. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, your minds, in Christ Jesus. So don't be anxious. Slow yourself down. Prepare yourself emotionally for this time of the season. A fourth is prepare yourself in your pace of life. It seems like this time of the year, we move at a breakneck pace. We're always in a hurry. We always have to get to something or do something to prepare ourselves for a party, for a get-together. We've got to get the shopping done, and you know what I'm talking about. Prepare yourself in your pace of life and be flexible that plans can change, that things will be different. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. this time of the year, I think we're reminded even more of God as we celebrate His Son. A fifth is prepare yourself financially. Clark Griswold had already bought the family pool. He hadn't told anybody yet. He was waiting for the Christmas bonus to arrive. The man shows up. You remember the scene? Jelly the Month Club. Wasn't what he expected. And that reminds me that we need to resist the temptation to overextend ourselves, to perhaps spend what we don't have. Resist that temptation. Prepare yourself financially. Continue to be generous to others. And it's no time to stop saving so that we can get the things we think we need for ourselves or others. Prepare ourselves there. And lastly, prepare yourself spiritually. This is the most important. Use this season, use this time as we lead up to Christmas. It's December 2nd. We've got a few weeks to draw near to Jesus. We use this time of the year to do many, many things. And I urge you to use this season to start preparing yourself to draw near to Christ. Continue praying and reading your Bible, coming to worship, seeking opportunities to serve. But use this season as a season to continue seeking after Christ. Romans 8:6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So this Christmas season, if you really want life and peace to fill you, continue drawing nearer to Jesus in His celebration of His birth. Isaac Watts wrote the song, Joy to the World. And in that song, it says, let every heart prepare Him room. And that's what we're doing this season. We're preparing to celebrate Christ. But you have to be willing to make room for that to happen. And what you fill that space with is of much importance. We will fill ourselves with something this Christmas season. And I urge you that it would be Christ. The Christ of Christmas. Ronald Rollheiser wrote a book touching on this subject, and I want to read a portion of this to you as we close this morning. And so Christmas itself generally finds us more in a pressured and tired space than in a leisured and rested one. Indeed, sometimes the Christmas season is more an endurance test than a time of genuine enjoyment. Moreover, and more seriously, if we are honest with ourselves, we have to admit that in our preparations for Christmas, we in fact make very little space for the spiritual, for Christ to be born more deeply in our lives. Our time of preparation is generally more of a time to prepare our houses than a time to prepare our souls, more of a time of shopping than of prayer, and more of a time of already feasting than a time of fasting as a preparation for a feast. And the end result is like this. Like the biblical innkeepers who had no room for Mary and Joseph at the first Christmas, we generally arrive at Christmas with no room at the inn, no space in our lives for spiritual rebirth. Don't let this Christmas season be that for you and for your family. But today, make the decision to start preparing for Christ. Certainly all the traditions, the things that we do throughout the Christmas season, those things are all fine. But remember, it's Christ. It's Christ that's the reason for this season. And let's keep it that way. Prepare yourself this Christmas and have your heart wide open, telling the Lord there is room for you here in the inn. This morning we're going to sing a song of invitation. And what Christ did through His birth is of utmost importance. Because without Christ's birth, there would have been no death for our sins and no resurrection. And because of Christ's birth, that opened the door for salvation through His life. And so this morning, we give you the opportunity to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior if you feel led to this morning. And so as we sing the song of invitation, consider that. Consider relationship with the Lord. If you've already made that decision, as we sing this morning, renew your relationship with the Lord through responding to Him in His call of preparing your heart this Christmas. Let's stand and let's sing. it for a moment. This morning, we're going to take time to install our new elders and deacons. So if those guys had come up on the stage. Today we intend to ordain elders and deacons and install them for terms of service at the Painted Christian Church. Those appointed to the office of elder is Mike Foster and of deacon Eric Kingery. To express your acceptance of these offices, you are asked to come forward here in this presence of God and His church to answer the following questions. Do you believe that in the call of this congregation, God Himself is calling you to these holy offices? Do you believe that the Old and New Testaments are the Word of God, the only infallible rule of faith and life? Do you subscribe to the doctrine and standards of this church, rejecting all teaching which contradicts them? Do you promise to do the work of your office faithfully, in a way worthy of your calling, and in submission to the government and discipline of this church? Mike, if you do, answer, I do, God helping me. And Eric, the same. If you do, answer, I do, God helping me. Mike, I charge you as an elder, shepherd of the flock, to hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught so that you can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Be a friend and Christ-like example to all. Give clear and cheerful guidance to young people by word and example. Bear up God's people in their pain and weakness and celebrate their joys with them. Hold in trust all sensitive matters confined to you. Encourage those to persevere in God's promises. Be wise counselor who support and strengthen the congregation. Be compassionate yet firm and consistent in rebuking and discipline. Know the scriptures which are useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Pray continually for the church. Remember at all times that if you would truly give spiritual leadership in the household of faith, you must be completely mastered by the Lord. To Eric, I charge you as a deacon to inspire faithful ministries of service to one another, to the larger community, and to the world. Remind us that the Lord requires us to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. Teach us to be merciful and to seize new opportunities to worship God with offerings of wealth, time, and ability. Realize that benevolence is a quality of our life in Christ and not merely a matter of financial assistance. Therefore, minister to rich and poor alike, both within the church and outside the church. Weigh our opportunities for giving and service and use the church's resources discerningly. Be compassionate to those in need and treat them with dignity and respect. Hold in trust all sensitive matters confined to you. Encourage with words that create hope in hearts and with deeds that bring joy to lives. To the congregation, I charge you people of God to receive these leaders as Christ's gift to the church. Recognize them in the Lord's provision for healthy congregational life. Hold them in honor, take their counsel seriously, respect them and respond to them. Accept their help with thanks. Wholeheartedly participate in the ministries into which they lead you. Sustain them in prayer and encourage them with your support, especially when they feel the burden of their office. Acknowledge them as the Lord's servants among you. Do you, congregation, pledge to receive them as you've been charged? If so, say, we do, God helping us. If you guys would lay hands on them, we'll pray. Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your church. We thank you, Father, that you saw fit to choose to use us as your vehicle to bring the word of your Son into this world. I pray, Father, for this congregation and this church and its leadership. Father, that you would continue to guide and direct them. And Father, continue to use us as that vehicle. I pray, Father, for Mike and his responsibilities as an elder. I pray, Father, that you would bless him and his family and that you would uphold him, Father, and continue to guide and lead him in the work that he does for your kingdom. Father, I also pray for Eric, Father, that you would continue to bless him and his family. Father, that you would continue to hold him up and, Father, guide and direct him as he serves the church and your kingdom work as a deacon through the Painted Christian Church. Father, I thank you for the church family that is here. I pray, Father, that you would continue to guide and direct and bless each and every one of them and their families. And that, Father, as a whole, as we strive to serve your kingdom, I pray, Father, that you would continue to guide and direct us, that we would seek after you in all things. And Father, that this church, the Painted Christian Church, would continue to be a light in our community. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys.